Hi, I'm Tedra Meyer, Vermont Edition producer, and I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Connor Cyrus. Later this hour, we're going to speak with a Republican who's throwing his hat in the ring for Vermont's open U.S. Senate seat. Gerald Molloy, an Army veteran and business consultant from Perkinsville, is vying for the Republican Party's nomination in the August primary ahead of November's general election. We'll ask him about why he's running for office, how his military career informs his policies, and more. But first, we're answering your electronic, software, and cybersecurity questions. Since the start of the pandemic, we have become more dependent on our devices. But what happens when they don't work? Well, in some cases, you don't work. So it's important that devices are always working and operating properly. Today on the show, we have two guests who are local computer experts, and they're here to answer your questions about your devices. I want to first welcome Teresa McDonough, co-owner and technician of TechMedic in Middlebury. Teresa, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I also want to welcome Mish Kabi. He's a consultant and he's a consultant in operations management and information security. He's also a former professor of computer information systems at Norwich University. Mish, welcome.
Hi, glad to be here.
And listeners, you can join the conversation. Do you have a phone that isn't working as smoothly as it did before? Are you wondering what the best kind of hard drive is for your computer? Or maybe you want to know how to keep your computer secure while traveling? Give us a call and join the conversation by calling 1-800-639-2211. You can also email us at vermontedition@vpr.org or tweet us at vermontedition. So, Teresa, I want to start with you and discuss how your job has changed since the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, I have definitely seen my job change quite a bit. I would say we used to be primarily a tech shop that fixed a lot of phones and definitely got a lot of computers in. But I think since the pandemic has set in, unfortunately, people have been dusting off their old computers because they're working from home and realizing they need them more than ever. I think prior to the pandemic, people definitely use their mobile devices, such as their phones and tablets, a lot more. So we're definitely seeing a lot more computers and people needing them very quickly. Everybody's working from home and definitely relying on them.
And Mish, I want to go to you and ask how your job has changed since the beginning of the pandemic.
There's been a significant increase in computer crime. Partly, it's thought, partly because more people are online more of the time. And so they are exposed to temptations, to trickery. And of course, as Teresa will confirm, simply hardware and software issues that might not have come up if they had been simply checking Facebook.
Right. And so, Teresa, what are the most common problems you're seeing nowadays?
Well, definitely, I think we're seeing a transition from older hardware like mechanical hard drives to solid states. So we definitely get people in a lot that are having some issues with their computers being really slow, needing, you know, updates, even batteries. These devices have been sitting in drawers for years. And so, not being used on a regular basis can certainly contribute to a lot of those issues. So we are doing a ton of upgrades, which is really great with the solid states because it does indeed make your computer faster. So not only are they getting their device fixed, but you know, it's almost better than out of the box because the new technology is a lot quicker and more reliable. So I would definitely say hard drives and batteries right now are probably our number one, which is good.
And can you explain to our listeners what solid state means?
So basically, the easiest way I describe this to customers is a mechanical drive that holds a customer's operating system data in the older devices was almost like a CD. It was a spinning disk or like an old record player. It has a needle, and so the old devices could get stuck. There are a lot of things that can cause them to fail. And then a solid state is basically, if you looked at it, if you took it apart, it just looks like a logic board or motherboard, whatever you want to call it. There's no mechanical, running wheels, disks to really get stuck or have as many issues with. But, of course, a solid state can certainly fail, but it's much less, prone to happen than with an old mechanical drive.
And Mish, I want to talk about something that I think it's a lot of people are worried about, and that's being hacked. According to Checkpoint Research, it's estimated that on average, 30,000 websites are hacked every day. In fact, a company falls victim to a cyber attack every 39 seconds, and more than 60% of organizations globally have experienced at least one form of a cyber attack. So what are the threats that Vermonters and our listeners need to be aware of right now?
I think one of the most fundamental issues is preparation for damage. And you absolutely got to do backups. A backup is a copy on a separate device, not simply a copy on the same computer that you're trying to protect. The reason we emphasize backups is that if by some horrible chance a system is attacked, or even if it simply fails, you drop your computer in the bathtub, it goes zap. At least you will have copies that are up to date to whatever degree you define up to date, so that you will not be completely, I'm trying not to swear, you will not be completely in a disaster. But in terms of defensive mechanisms, one of the most important threats is malicious software. And therefore, all of our computers, and that includes phones, because now our little phones are little computers. We've got to have anti-malware. Some people will say antivirus, although that's a little more limited, but anti-malware software running on our devices and kept up to date. Now, this kind of software updates itself if you allow it to. And so if you don't know how to set that up, I'm sure Teresa and colleagues will help you set it up so that your anti-malware or antivirus updates automatically. Another important defensive strategy is awareness and education. Awareness of threats. One of the most obvious threats is poor, what we call authentication. Authentication means demonstrating that a user really is the one authorized to use the computer. And some people haven't changed their passwords in years. Some people use passwords like the name of their dog.
I mean, we all know that the most secure password is password 123, right?
Well, in fact, passwords like sequences of numbers and obviously have been unfortunately very commonly discovered. So use what is called a password safe software that is reliable, that can store passwords in an encrypted form. That means it is protected against reading by anybody who doesn't have a master password, and make sure the master password is sufficiently complex that it can't be guessed.
I think that that's really good advice. And listeners, if you're just now tuning in, we are speaking with Teresa McDonough. She is the co-owner and technician of TechMedic in Middlebury. We're also speaking with Mish Kabi. He's a consultant in operations management and information security. And we want to hear from you. What questions do you have? Do you have questions about how your phone is operating? Do you have questions about how your computer is operating, a faster computer? Or maybe you're just wondering how to keep all of your information safe. Give us a call, 1-800-639-2211. You can also email us at vermontedition@vpr.org. Now, Teresa, we were just talking about passwords and backups, and I understand that you have a lot of suggestions on what people should do, because I imagine that as somebody who works with phones, you have experienced a lot of tears with people losing pictures.
Oh, definitely. And unfortunately, like he said, having just a backup on the computer or the phone doesn't necessarily help you if something happens. And we do get a lot of water damage, devices just broken, sometimes stolen. So making sure you have your iCloud or with Android systems or Google Photos, which you can actually also use on Apple, which I do. I have kind of a double backup. Making sure you have those turned on and backing up. Now, sometimes customers are under the impression that their phone is automatically backing up for them, and that's not always the case. With iCloud, you got to be plugged in and connected to Wi-Fi. Google Photos, I tend to find is a little bit easier for customers and sometimes a bit more reliable. iCloud definitely is a great system, but it's not as user-friendly, I feel. So definitely just making sure you have those always, signed in, and your passcodes even written in a book. We have a lot of customers who aren't tech savvy, as they would call themselves. So sometimes using some of these apps that save passcodes is just one more layer of frustration for them. So if you're that sort of person, definitely just, having a little passcode book that you have in maybe a safe at home is a great way to save your passcodes and make sure that you have those extra file backups saved. Because if you do damage your phone and it's not, and you're not able to turn it on and do a backup to the computer, there's options, but they can be very expensive, up to $400 or $500 to retrieve data, and you have to send it out to companies like DriveSavers. So, prevention is definitely the...
Now, Teresa, I want to go to you and talk about something that I think impacts most of our listeners, and that's email. According to checkjury.net, email is responsible for around 94% of all malware. For people listening who are maybe less tech savvy, what is malware and how can people avoid becoming the next victim?
Yeah, it's definitely an issue that we see here in the shop. A lot of the times we simply tell customers if it's not an email that you're familiar with, a company you're familiar with, a friend, definitely do not click on it. Basically, there's a lot of different ways that malware viruses can infect your computer. It can run in the background. It can lots of different ways. I guess I'm trying to figure out the most common. It can put ads up on your screen. It can prevent certain apps from working properly. It can even stop your computer from running properly.
Let me jump in for a quick second, and I want to go to Mish just really quickly. And Mish, I understand that there is a trick that people maybe don't realize on how to know if a link in their email is as accurate as the URL says it is.
Yes, it's so simple. I wish more people knew about it. There's a technique called phishing, spelled P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, phishing. Which involves email that contains links that go, just as Teresa was saying, links that will go to harmful sites, or in some cases may even mislabel documents that contain malware. All you have to remember is that if you move your cursor over a link in your email, or for that matter, in your browser, It will show you where it's actually going. You see, those links have two parts. They have what's called the label, which is what is shown on your screen. But underneath, there's the Uniform Resource Locator, or URL, which is really where it's going. So if you get a message from AT&T, and it says, we are going to cancel your account, you must contact us through this link. You know, if you put your cursor over the link that says, www.att.com/support, you look at it with your cursor over it, it turns out it's actually wearethieves.ru, meaning Russia, or CN, China, or some other place.
That's a really good tip and something very valuable for our listeners, just to double check and don't click on it. Listeners, right now we're talking, we're answering your questions about software, data breaches, whatever you have, give us a call, 1-800-639-2211. Let's go to the phones and talk to Adam in Colchester. Adam, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Hey, thanks. So I have a problem with my Gmail. I've had Gmail for at least probably 10 years. And for some reason, as of late, all my stuff has been going automatically to the trash. I spent quite a while one Saturday going through and deleting all kinds of extra emails. And I went into my Google Photos and I deleted a whole bunch and cleared up all kinds of space. But it still says my Google account is completely full and is still sending all my emails to the trash, and I don't know what to do.
Adam, thanks for that call. Teresa, do you have any advice for Adam?
Usually this is caused by a misconfigured filter. He can check in the settings and make sure he doesn't have any forwarding like POP or IMAP tabs. It's kind of tricky to really resolve without actually looking at it, but it sounds like he's been Googling it and trying to resolve it himself. I'm not sure if he's recently fiddled with the settings prior, or if he installed it on a different device, such as a phone, because sometimes if you're using it on different devices and unknowingly changed a setting, it can cause that sort of issue.
There is something else to check.
What else should he check, Mish?
In the browser version, the access to Gmail, look at all mail, because it is possible that all mail is what is full. And in that case, all you have to do is you click on all mail, and up at the top, there's a little button for select, and you can select all and delete. Because if you haven't cleaned out your email, it may have thousands of old messages that are still on the Gmail server.
Yeah, maybe have you gotten a message recently letting you know whether your Gmail is getting full?
I've gotten it a couple of times. It's read that it's full for probably the past month, and I've done nothing but empty out all my Google stuff, because I know you get 15 free gigabytes of stuff. I'm almost down to like under 5 gigabytes of information on my Google account, but it still says that it's full.
Yeah, that is a tricky one. But yeah, I think like Mish said, that might also be an issue if your Gmail is completely filled, that you may want to start purging it and see if that can help.
Hopefully that helps you out, Adam. Let's go to Clayton and Montpelier. Clayton, you are on Vermont Edition. Welcome.
Greetings.
You're on the line. What's your question or comment?
Yeah. I am wondering how I could ensure that my digital self dies around the time I do.
I'll start with Mish. How does one... how are they assured that their digital self dies when they do?
You have to talk to, you have to make sure that your estate executors are aware of your desire. So you inform them or instruct them to terminate whatever it is you want removed. Each of the facilities will have a way of doing it. It's different for everyone, you know, Facebook and Twitter and your email and so on. I do think it's probably a wise idea to tell your executor to wait at least a little while in terminating your email, because they probably are going to want to tell people who haven't heard that you died, you died. And so maybe a lag of 3 or 4 months on your email. The rest, well, you can archive your Facebook if that's what you have. That will lock the account by contacting Facebook support, but it will allow the account to continue being visible if that's what you want. If that's not what you want, then there are ways of removing it entirely. But as I said, it depends on which feature or function you are concerned with, and each one will have its own way of removing your account.
Now, Teresa, something that I want to talk to you about is this idea that somebody who has an Apple phone, for example, can't go to a third party and get it fixed and have it still be under the warranty. Is that a misconception that people have, or is that accurate?
It is actually a misconception. And I actually got to testify on a panel at the Federal Trade Commission a few years ago on what's called the MagMOS Warranty Act. And they kind of wanted to get input from technicians on how the right to repair coincides with MagMOS. And MagMOS is basically a law that prohibits companies such as Apple, Dell from basically saying that if you were to go to a third party repair shop and get your device fixed, say you broke your screen, that it then voids your warranty. I think a lot of customers are unaware that you can get your device fixed within, say, that 1 year warranty and still have your warranty valid. I think that they like to give you a hard time, but really what it is that these manufacturers want those repairs. So if a customer breaks their cell phone within that 1 year manufacturer warranty, they're gonna be worried and go directly to Apple instead and get it fixed there. But indeed it is against the law through MagMOS, and the FTC does monitor this. And big companies know this, but of course, you know, whether or not you're gonna get them to comply is a whole nother subject. But yeah, definitely a misconception. Your warranty is still valid.
Do you have any advice on how people should communicate with tech support if they are getting a hard time?
That can be tricky. Some companies can be really hard to get a hold of tech support. Apple does tend to be a little bit easier. 1-800-MY-APPLE. You can usually get a hold of a human. They're pretty good. But yeah, just reminding, you know, if you have a warranty that you're having problems with, just reminding that technician, that you have protections under the law, and you can even cite MagMOS. These companies know, maybe that particular customer service agent doesn't, but you can always ask to talk up, somebody in the chain of command. But you know, I think the word warranty also trips a lot of people up. They'll crack their screen and think that that is covered under warranty. Just like with a car, if you damage it yourself, that is not something that's covered under warranty. But, you know, if it's, I always say a manufactured defect is what is covered under warranty. And now a company doesn't have to offer a warranty, but if they do, they cannot put restrictions on that warranty.
And then, Mish, as we're talking about these, federal regulations about warranties, there's also something that parents should know when it comes to the Fraud and Abuse Act. Can you just explain what that is and how it what it looks like in the real world?
Yes. I'm very concerned for many, many years that parents, many parents do not understand that what we call criminal hacking is a federal crime. The Computer Fraud and Abuse Act of 1986 explicitly makes it a federal crime to use someone else's computer systems or networks, which are really the same, without permission. In practical terms, it means that the innocent little 11-year-old who's been fascinated by the materials in 2600, the Hacker Quarterly, and thinks it's great being a hacker, goes ahead and cracks into a company's system, not understanding that the financial penalty for the first breach can go as high as $250,000. The financial penalty for the second and other break-ins can go as high as $500,000. And the prison terms can be 5 years for the first offense and up to 10 years for all subsequent offenses. Parents, you must teach your children that it is not acceptable to break into other people's computers. That means they can't break into their schoolmates' computers without permission. They can't use a teacher's computer without permission. All of that has to be clear to children and the parents.
I just want to note that there have been a lot of stories in the news recently of students playing pranks on teachers by hacking into their computers, maybe changing a test or playing with something online. And so I think that's where Misha's passion comes from. And so we got an email from Cindy who wants to know, can you connect an iPad to a printer? Teresa, with the limited time we have left, can you go ahead and answer that? And if so, how?
Yeah, you can. I don't find them to be configured very easily, or, you know, sometimes they don't print the way you want them to. There's different apps available. I would have to probably look up which the most frequent used one. I think it was since like later iPads. There's AirPrint utility, I think. But yeah, they do definitely support printing on a printer. You can use, like I said, different apps to do that or use AirPrint. So, yeah.
So, Mish, with like the last minute that we have with the two of you, what would you say is the most important thing for our listeners to take away from this conversation?
I urge, again, parents to be aware that having their children send nude pictures to other little buddies is not a good idea. It violates child pornography laws. Those are federal crimes. Teach your children, you don't send a picture of yourself nude to anybody, no matter how friendly you are, because once you do, you've lost control over what happens to those pictures, and they can show up a decade later when you're applying for a job.
I want to thank my guest today. We had Teresa McDonough, co-owner and technician at Tech Medic in Middlebury. Teresa, thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I also want to thank Mish Kabi. He's a consultant in operations management and information security and a former professor at Norwich University. Mish, thank you so much for being here.
Great pleasure. Thank you.